6. I'm going to be reading from verse 25 to verse 34. And this piggybacks on to what Jesus was talking about that we went over last week. We discussed who do we serve? Do we serve God? Do we serve money? Do we lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy? Or do we lay up treasures in heaven where they cannot destroy? And so Jesus follows this up with a teaching about being anxious, about being fearful, where he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people as we come into this place. There are some who are anxious. And your desire, the desire of your kingdom and your power and authority, is to remove anxiety from your people. And lead us, God, to live without fear for you. And so please speak to us now. Move in this room and help us, Lord, to understand the words of your Son, that we might be set free from fear. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ways that politicians and rulers of lands seek to keep people underneath their sway is through fear. They like their people to be fearful. I think we see that being used pretty effectively in most elections, don't we? Somebody stands in front of the people and talks about how bad things are going to be. You know, if you don't vote for me and if I'm not your ruler, these things are going to happen. And so because of fear, people are persuaded to follow. History shows that this is how many monarchies have functioned. They've remained in power because the people are afraid of what might happen if this person is not in control. Or maybe they are kept under the thumb of the monarch. They're afraid to rebel. They're afraid of change for fear of their lives being lost. And the reason that leaders often do this is because their main objective is power. They like the authority. Their main objective is not for the care of their people. They want to stay in control. And these worldly leaders will do whatever they can, whatever method they have to use to keep that power, even if it is fear. But not Jesus. He shows us what real power and authority are for. And he uses his kingly authority, his power, to remove fear from his people. Our Jesus is a kind king. He doesn't want us to be afraid. Nobody can steal his power from him. Nobody can take that, so it's not like he's trying to keep it. It's simply his. He has all authority. And because he died for his subjects, he's proven that he always wants what is best for them. Always. And he's going to do what is best for them in the here and now. He's going to take care of us. He's shown that he loves us. He wants us to not be afraid. He doesn't want us to be fearful or anxious about our lives, but he wants us to trust in God for everything. Why is it that people get anxious? Why do they get anxious? Why maybe did you come in here anxious this morning? Maybe why did you wake up anxious today? Or you've got anxieties about the week that's still yet to come. You're worried about what's going to happen. Why do people get anxious? And the word that Jesus uses here that we read as anxious helps us to understand how this happens. The word literally means to be divided into parts, drawn in opposite directions, or another way, meaning it to be distracted. To be worried or anxious then means that a person has a distracted or divided mind. It means that person's mind is not functioning as a whole. It's scattered, unfocused. It's torn into pieces. So think about a time in your life when you were anxious. You were afraid of something. And you would try to accomplish whatever was set in front of you, but you found that you really just couldn't do that. Your mind kept wandering away to some other thing that you were concerned about. It would steal your attention, keeping you from focusing on maybe something that you could not control. So anxiety is a feeling of concern that eats up more of the space in your thoughts than it should, keeping you from functioning with a sound and reasonable mind. That's what anxiety is. That's what our Lord is describing here in this passage. And before we get too far into the text, I want you to keep in mind again that this is right after Jesus' teaching on money. What are so many people anxious or concerned about? They're concerned about money. They're concerned about their things, their possessions. And so it's not a coincidence here that Jesus teaches this right after that. And so in Luke chapter 12, this same teaching occurs right after the parable of the man who built bigger barns for himself. And so there is a particular kind of worry that Jesus is teaching us about. And it results from too great a concern about our personal kingdoms, our bodies, our possessions, our stuff. Without enough concern, he's going to tell us about God's kingdom. That's where our concern is supposed to lie. And if it lies there, Jesus is teaching us that God will take care of these other things. And so, isn't this the great concern of the world, it seems? Worry about money and things, our stuff, our possessions. Will we have enough? Or what if I lose that stuff? What if I never get those things that I was aiming at, those things? So often the security of the world is in stuff. And Jesus is teaching us that Christians, this is not just a teaching for the world, this is a teaching for Christians, that we can be distracted and anxious about physical things that God promises to provide for us. He wants to convince us of why his people, those that are underneath his gracious rule, not like the politicians or the monarchs of the world, he wants to convince us of why we should not be anxious as we live underneath his rule. And he gives us here several reasons. I'm going to give you five from this passage where Jesus is teaching us, persuading us, convincing us that we don't need to be anxious. First, look at verse 25. Verse 25 there in Matthew chapter 6. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, which you will put on." And then he gives us the reason for that directly afterwards. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That's his reason. He's saying there's more to the purpose in life than just what we eat or the things that we wear, or the places that we live. That's not what life is supposed to be about. But so often, is that not what the world lives for? He's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like that. There's more to your life than what you eat or what you wear. And when we make life about these things, and we become worried about them, we've gotten off track. We have forgotten what he made us to live for. And I want to read you what one author said about a magazine that was sent to him, a magazine that persuades people to live for the things of the flesh. He says, "A few years ago, I was sent a complimentary copy of Accent, a new glossy magazine whose full title was Accent on Good Living. It included enticing advertisements for champagne, cigarettes, food, clothing, antiques, and carpets, together with a description of an esoteric weekend shopping in Rome. There were articles on how to have a computer in your kitchen, how to win a luxury cabin cruiser, or 112 bottle cases of Scotch whiskey instead. and how 15 million women cannot be wrong about the cosmetic choices that they've made. We were then promised in the following month's issue alluring articles on Caribbean holidays, staying in bed, high fashion warm underwear, and the delights of reindeer meat and snowberries. From beginning to end, it concerned the welfare of the body and how to feed it, clothe it, warm it, cool it, refresh it, relax it, and entertain it. My favorite part was the reindeer meat and snowberries, you know. I didn't know people were out there eating reindeer and enjoying snowberries, but I'm sure it's pretty good stuff. But the reason that I tell that to you is I'm sure that though you might not have seen Accent on Good Living, you've seen something like it. Some magazine, now it's some website, some commercial, whatever it is, to teach us how we could be living the better life. There's a better life for you if you would just enjoy these certain things and pamper your bodies. And you probably know how attractive the thought of some of these things you've seen are, especially when you see your neighbors enjoying them. And maybe you don't have two nickels to rub together. And so to the world, this is what life is about. This is the purpose of their living, just to improve their circumstances, to live more comfortably, to have more security in the bank, because their trust, it seems, is not in their God, but in their stuff. And the more stuff that we have, the more comfortable we become. We feel safer. Just like that man who built those bigger barns, and then God finally said to him, "You fool, I'm going to take your life from you tonight." Now whose stuff is that? Showing him that's not what your life is about. Life is not about the abundance of your possessions. God gave us something greater that we are supposed to live for, and it's not things. It's not the things of this world. It's more than the accumulation of stuff. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that says, "He with the most toys at the end wins." Oh, how untrue. Because that's telling us what life is all about, just accumulating more things for yourself. And that's where our enjoyment lies, in just having stuff. And Jesus is telling us otherwise. And so if you find yourself continually worried about things, gaining, keeping, or maybe even losing them, you've become distracted from your primary purpose in life. So life was given to you by God so that you would find your ultimate enjoyment not in things, but in Him. To have more things or to enjoy more creature comforts is not our purpose. And God does give us good things to enjoy. God delights in giving His children good things to enjoy here on earth. That needs to be said. But so that we would acknowledge His name and the fruit of our lips would be praised, just like we read in Hebrews 13. So often what happens is that the attention that we have shifts from the giver to the gift. We make life about the gift, when all along, all those good things that we have were supposed to be arrows that point us back to the giver. And so when the purpose of life shifts from the giver to the gift, anxiety will be the result. And so Jesus here is telling us that we were made for more, but so often doesn't it seem that people are willing to settle for so much less? So much less. In our society, for the most part, people don't worry that they're going to have no clothes, which I think is what Jesus is saying here. There were people who didn't have anything. They were afraid of being naked. Well, that's not really the problem here, is it? I don't think people really worry so much about not having no clothes. They worry that they're not going to have the right kind of clothes. Oh, I'm not going to wear that. I'm not shopping there. They're about a particular brand so that people will think maybe much of them. That's where they find their satisfaction. What other people think about the clothes that I wear. People don't worry about not having a place to live, at least not usually. More often than not, they're worried that their house won't be as nice as their friends. Or maybe I live in the wrong neighborhood or in the wrong school system or whatever. Not maybe so that their children could just have better schools, but so that they'll be more well thought of. I'd never live there. I wouldn't go to that place. What would people think if I did? We're always consuming. We're never cutting back. We lack contentment because the purpose of life to so many people is about what they will eat, what they will drink, and what they will wear. And it might look a bit different than it did in Jesus' day. I think it does. But at the bottom, it's still basically the same. The same concerns. When you live for things that can never satisfy you, you will inevitably become anxious. And that's the problem with living for the gift. They were never meant to satisfy your souls. So you can accumulate as much of those things as you want. You can have the nicest television, the nicest house, live in the nicest neighborhood with the nicest car, and what you'll find is eventually you will get tired of those things. You'll get tired of them. You can have the best the world could offer, and there will still be a hunger in your souls for more. Why? Because you were not created to live for those things and find satisfaction in them. You were created to live for God. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. You were made for a different purpose, to enjoy Him, not stuff. Not stuff. But He's teaching us that if our main pursuit is the enjoyment of God, His kingdom, His righteousness, His person, His character, His actions in the world, if that is where we find our enjoyment and find our purpose, you will no longer be aiming and living for those things that cannot satisfy, but you will have found the fountain of all life. Your souls will be satisfied in Him. And Jesus promises there in verse 33 that all these things, and He's talking about all these necessities, maybe not all your wants, certainly not all your wants, but certainly all the things that God sees that you need, He will give them to you. They'll be added to you. God made us for more than stuff. Therefore, Jesus says, do not be anxious about them. You were made for more. That's His first thing that He teaches us. The second argument that He uses, Jesus points us here to nature. He points us to the birds and the flowers that we can observe when we go outside, and He tells us that we can learn from them. They become our instructors. Birds and flowers here are our teachers. So He says, you're anxious about your lives. You're anxious about your food, your clothing, and these things, but pay attention to how the birds find their food. They don't sow, meaning they don't go out there and plant the seeds. They're not expecting a harvest. They don't plant 3 months later expecting something to sprout up from the ground that they can go out there and eat. They don't gather into barns. So they're not even out there collecting seeds for the winter. He's telling us that they go out every day, they do their work, and they have a God that provides for them everything that they need. And so if God delights in providing food for these birds, Jesus is telling us, how would He not delight in providing for you? And then He says, look at the flowers of the field. They're beautiful. We enjoy them. He describes a type of flower here that He says that even Solomon, in all his beauty, all the things that he used to wear, he was the richest king that ever lived, even Solomon was not dressed like one of these lilies. These flowers, they don't work for the beautiful colors they're adorned with. They don't knit their clothes. They're just made that way. God makes them beautiful. He takes care of them. He delights in dressing them more beautifully than kings. And the beauty that they have is only in the field for a few days, and then they become kindling for the ovens. They're only out there for a few days, and they wilt, and then they die. And Jesus says, if God delights in giving these flowers clothing, will He not also delight in clothing you? Why, He's saying, do you worry? Why do you worry? And in both of these cases, if you look at verse 26, I think it applies to both of them. The reason that you should not be anxious about your necessities, your food and your clothing, the things that you need to live, is because you are valuable to God. Are you not of more value than they are? If God takes care of them, these birds that nobody really pays that much attention to, or these flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will He take care of you? When you become fearful, when you become anxious, when you're worried, you're forgetting that you matter to God. that you are valuable in His eyes, that He thinks of you, that God delights in you, He loves providing for you. Think about the cross. Was it for birds or flowers that the Son of God gave His life for? No. It was for you. And so in some way or another, you are valuable to God. He delights in you so much so that the Son of God was willing to give His life on your behalf. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" This is an argument that Paul uses here to teach us that if God did the greater thing, if He did the most challenging or the most difficult, the most painful thing that He could possibly do for you, why then would you worry about Him doing lesser things for you? That's what we do, isn't it? When we sit here and we worry about food, clothing, shelter, or maybe some things more than that, what we're saying is that I don't really think I'm all that valuable to God. We forget about the cross. God did the most tremendous thing that He could possibly do for you. How could you ever doubt that He would give you lesser things? How could you doubt if God would take care of your spirit and your soul like He has? Why would you ever think that He would not take care of your body? So if we would just look to the cross and see the love of God for us there, I think our anxiety would flee. It would run from us. Therefore, Jesus says, if God takes care of the birds and He takes care of the flowers, do not be anxious. God will take care of you. Third, verse 27. Look at what Jesus says there. He says that people become anxious about their days. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? People become anxious about their days, or maybe about the days of their loved ones. They become concerned. And I have to admit that I've concerned myself with the length of my life, my wife's, my children's lives. I've thought about that. I've worried over the possibility of somebody dying without even a reason to worry about their deaths. I've thought about those things. And Jesus is saying it is useless to worry about this. You don't gain anything with worry except maybe an ulcer. Heart problems, physical problems, they lead us, you know, worry causes physical ailments. We don't gain anything, or we don't accomplish anything by worrying. It doesn't help in any way. He's telling us that God is in control of our days, not us. So you want to sit around worrying about your life and how long it's going to be, or maybe about the lives of the people that you love? He's saying your worrying's not adding a day to their life. All their days were already written in God's book, each one of them. Your worry doesn't do anything. The appointed time of my death, the death of those in my family, they're already planned by God. 50 years from now or tomorrow, I can't change that. Worry won't contribute 1 hour to them. So I think what Jesus is telling us here is live, breathe, go out and work like the birds. Do your job. Be faithful today. God is on His throne. He's there in control of everything. Let Him take care of those details. They're not for us. That's the third reason why Jesus tells us that we should not be anxious. Fourth, verse 31. Look at what it says. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." And so when you live in anxiety about your necessities, about your possessions, do I have enough of these things? Should I go out there and get more? Or where is it all going to come from? Jesus is telling us here that we are living as though we do not have a father, that we're living like orphans who have to go out and fend for themselves. And He's telling us, you're not an orphan. You have a Father in heaven who knows everything that you need. And when you worry, you're acting like He's not there, or that He's a Father who does not care. O you of little faith. I think that's why he's bringing up the Gentiles here in verse 32. These are people who don't have faith, and they do worry about these things. Don't be like them. Trusting in him is faith. And if somebody were to watch your life right now, he's saying that one might think that you were an unbeliever, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you worry about every little thing. You're not an orphan, so don't live like one. And if you want to drive fear from your heart, you want to push out anxiety, remember that you have a Father in heaven. Trust that he is there, that he does care for you, that he is going to provide for everything that you need. I mean, no doubt I am an imperfect father. Sometimes I think I want what's best for my kids, and maybe I'm not able to provide it. I do everything I can to try to give good things to my children, the things that they need. And that's because I'm an imperfect father, and I still love my kids and want what's best for them. But our Father in heaven is not imperfect. He's good in all that he does. And he always does what is best for his children. And so why, friends, are we anxious? If we believe that, why are we anxious? Maybe it's because in that moment there is something about his good and gracious fatherhood that we don't believe. We're not thinking about those things. Our minds, again, are distracted. They're in pieces. They're torn. They're not whole. We're not trusting in him. We're not believing. And so remind yourself who you belong to. And if it is to God, if he's the one that is protecting you, providing for you, he's controlling the circumstances around you, all for your good, even if it does not look good in the moment. And so often that is the case, isn't it? And certainly with some of you who are here this morning. If he's controlling all these things and he is your father, it makes worrying absolutely senseless. I don't need to worry. He lifts that burden off of us. Your life is completely in his hands. Therefore, Jesus is saying, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. And then lastly, the fifth reason that Jesus gives here. Verse 34, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And Jesus is telling us here something very practical. He's telling us that a sure way to anxiety is for you to try to live tomorrow, today. That your mind is not really focused on today. I'm always thinking about what is still yet to come. I'm not living for Sunday. I'm not living for the Lord's Day. I'm already on Monday. And not just Monday. I'm trying to live all the other days of the week, too. I'm worried about that doctor's appointment that's coming up. I've got that bill that's due this week. I'm worried what's going to happen to my children when they go back to school. Our minds are not on today. We're thinking about tomorrow. And Jesus says that tomorrow, your mind and your heart can't take both of those. Today is enough for you. That's all that you're able to handle, what God has put on your plate today. And you need to be reminded that whatever you have on your plate today, God will give you enough grace to handle it. You remember the story about the Israelites, how they came through the Red Sea and had seen all the miracles that God had put before them. And immediately afterwards, what did they do? They complained. We're hungry. God had just shown them all these amazing things that he could do, and now they're worried about their bodies. That had to be, in some ways, I mean, I don't know, God, I don't think he's a frustrated God, but he had to look down and think, wow, oh, you of little faith. You just saw what I did to protect you, and you're worried about your stomachs, as if I don't know you have to eat. And so what did he do? God promised to them manna every morning. He told them, you're going to go out today, and you'll collect all that you need for today, but not for tomorrow. You'll wake up tomorrow and you'll go out and collect what you need then, but just for today. And I think what he was teaching us in that moment is that God promises to give grace only for today, but that he will be there for us tomorrow if we wake up. So just worry about today. God's going to provide it for you. He will provide sufficient grace today for today's troubles. So don't mount on yourself what's going to happen tomorrow. There's enough trouble today for itself. And you have a Father who is there with you, providing for everything that you need. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, God will be there with you. Therefore, do not be anxious. So I ask you this morning, as we get ready to close, did you come here anxious? Did you come here with fears in your heart, concerns? Maybe you wake up anxious on most mornings. And our King wants to tell us that He does not desire to rule a people through fear. He's not going to stir us up into a frenzy. He's not going to become a crutch for us. Jesus is looking to set us free. He wants to set us free from fear. He wants to see us live in complete trust in our God, that He cares about the details of your life. Everything. Even the things that you eat, the places that you live, the clothes that you put on your back, God is concerned about those. And like a good father with his children, He makes it His purpose and His pleasure, His delight, to provide for those that He loves. I think we can take heart in that, so that we might leave here not fearful, not anxious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, for Your promises. And we ask, Lord, this morning that we would not be people of little faith, that our trust, our hope, our delight would be in You, that we would not make life about things, that that would not be our great pursuit, having more or having better all the time, but that we would have more and better of You each and every day as You are there for us. We might wake up tomorrow and things get worse. We might receive news that we weren't expecting, bad news. But we know, Father, that You are with us. And sometimes, God, our hearts long for things that we are not to have. We want the wrong things, and we ask for the wrong things. God, help us to live with what we have been given by You and to be satisfied, content, knowing that it is from Your hand. Not always craving more to pamper ourselves with, more for the flesh, but that our flesh would be spent for Your sake, trusting that You're always going to provide what we need when we need it. Give us greater faith to live like this, like what our Lord has taught us about here. And we ask it in His name. Amen.